Deadshot's being recasted in Suicide Squad 2. Arrow is gonna end in Season 8. It's Ash Wednesday. All this and more coming up on Double Helix News. Good evening. This is David Arrington of Double Helix News, and I'm bringing you all the news and everything that you want to hear for all of your news needs. Will Smith played Deadshot in 2016's Suicide Squad, and that movie was not particularly well received, but it did win an Oscar, so at least it has something going for it. But some of the high points of that movie was Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, fantastic version of that character, really kind of bringing life to this character that I really like. But another one of the high points, probably the second highest point, I guess, would be Will Smith as Deadshot in that movie. I thought he was great in the character, great with this role, and I was looking forward to seeing him more in the future as Deadshot. But from the sounds of things, that is not going to happen. Idris Elba is in talks to replace Will Smith as Deadshot. And honestly, this is really kind of disappointing to me. I had heard earlier that Will Smith was not going to be returning for Suicide Squad 2 due to conflicting schedules. So I think Will Smith is filming Bad Boys for Life, and so he can't film this movie. And so I was thinking, oh, okay, so he's just not going to be in this one, and he'll show up again somewhere down the line. But that doesn't sound like it's going to happen. It sounds like he's going to be replaced by Idris Elba. Now, do I think Idris Elba could play this role? Absolutely. Idris Elba is a great actor. I think he could do, you know, great in this role, but I want to see Will Smith back in this role. I want to see him do more with it. There's a lot more to this character than the glimpse we got of him in this movie. You know, this is a team-up movie. The attention was spread out throughout all these different characters. He was one of the main focuses, but it was still spread out through all these different characters. I wanted to see, you know, movies with more of him, more of a focus on him, and more with Will Smith. You know, with Will Smith in that role, I think he has a lot more he could bring to the table than what we've gotten so far. And so that's why I'm very disappointed that so early in this his run of movies, which just turned out to be one now, it's just cut off. Now we have a different actor taking his place. Now, as far as Idris Elba goes, if they originally announced, hey, Idris Elba is going to be Deadshot, I probably would have been like, cool, because Idris Elba is a really good actor, and I think he really could play this role really well. Is he going to play it like Will Smith played it? No, I think he's going to have a different take on the character, which is going to be fine. Again, I'm just disappointed that we're not getting the take on the character that we got in Suicide Squad, the first movie, and it's going to be probably fairly different in the second movie. That said, they seem to be wanting to change things up, both with the Suicide Squad and the DCEU in general. I mean, you know, they're kind of doing away with all their plans before, and now, you know, they have a few more movies kind of set that's going to be the new universe going forward, it seems like, and Suicide Squad 2 is a part of that, but it's going to be different. I mean, it has James Gunn on board to direct. I am a little bit disappointed David Ayers isn't directing, because I would like to see his full actual vision for a Suicide Squad movie. That it didn't quite work out with the first one, because, you know, you can go online and you can see how he talks in interviews about how this isn't how he wanted the movie. He wish he had more time to write it. He wish he had more time to actually focus. He would have made Joker the main villain, he said, and all this kind of stuff. And I do want to see a more fleshed out, more David Ayers version of Suicide Squad. So I am a little bit disappointed in that it's not good. We're not going to see that. That said, James Gunn, I think that's a perfect choice to direct a Suicide Squad movie. I think he's going to do great in this. So, you know, I mean, just judging by his Guardians of the Galaxy, in a lot of ways, Suicide Squad is kind of a Guardians of the Galaxy type of team, though they're even more, like, conflicting a lot of times. So, you know, I really do think James Gunn could pull this off. He has the right sensibilities to pull off this kind of movie. You know, if it wasn't James Gunn and it wasn't David Ayer, then I would like Drew Goddard to direct a Suicide Squad movie. I think he could do really good with this as well. So anyway, overall, I'm looking forward to Suicide Squad 2. I imagine it will probably be a better movie than the first one because, you know, I think they'll give him more time. They're actually going to try to make sure their movies are better than they have been now, because people have been saying, hey, your movies aren't up to par, and they're going, okay, we're, you know, taking a step back, reconsidering, trying to refocus here, and that seems to be kind of a thing going on here with Suicide Squad 2. But again, with Idris Elba, you know, coming in, I think he's a great actor. I think he could do good in this role. I'm just disappointed that I guess some of the old stuff that I liked is also getting replaced as the DCEU is getting shaken up. Arrow is going to end after its 8th season. Stephen Amell, the actor that plays Arrow, the actor that plays Oliver Queen, says on his Twitter, he tweeted out and he said, "Playing Oliver Queen has been the greatest professional experience of my life. But you can't be a vigilante forever. Arrow will return for a final run of 10 episodes this fall. There's so much to say. For now, I just want to say thank you." All right, this is it. As of the end of this year, it's going to be the end of Arrow. I was wondering how long they were going to continue this series, because it had been going for a long time. I'm like, are they going to surpass Smallville with this? How far are they going with this? Nope. Sounds like season 8 is going to be the final season. They're shortening it to 10 episodes, so I guess I kind of hope that means they're really going to focus down to just make a great finale for this character and some of these other characters that is in the show now. I am a few seasons behind on Arrow. I am still watching season 6. I think it's season 6 that I'm watching with Prometheus is the main villain. That was last season. So I'm just starting the next season there. Anyway, I'm behind. I gotta catch up. The hard thing about catching up with Arrow is that I have to catch up with Flash at the same time. I have to catch up with Legends of Tomorrow at the same time, because all of those interact with each other in such a cool, awesome way. I got behind on one, so I got behind on all of them, and now to catch up on all of them before this fall, it's probably going to be a challenge, because there's a lot of episodes in there that I need to catch up on, but that is something I anticipate doing, because this is a series that I really do love this series, and so the fact that it's ending is like, okay, now I have to catch up, and I have to have to actually be on top of this, so that way I can watch the final season as it comes out, or shortly after it comes out at the very least. That was my plan also with Gotham. I'm mostly caught up with Gotham. I'm almost caught up to the current season. I just have a little bit to go, but then I stopped watching the episodes of Gotham for whatever reason. I don't even remember why I stopped. But I'm gonna catch up on that, watch the end of Gotham, and then I'll probably start watching Arrow, Flash, and Legends again to try to get me all the way up to that point where I can see the end of Arrow as it comes out. And you know what? This is, in a sense, it's like, oh, okay, this is kind of a bummer. A show I really like is ending. On the other hand, it did last 8 seasons. It spawned a universe. Like, it spawned the Arrowverse, you know, or the Flareoverse, or whatever you want to call it. And so it's like, it has a legacy that's going to last on. There's supposedly new shows coming in this universe. They've ordered ordered a pilot for Batwoman, which I'm not particularly interested in. Batwoman's not really a character I like all that much. But they've ordered a pilot for her because she's supposedly going to be getting her own series. So we'll see how that turns out. And, you know, this show, it's like kind of amazing what this show started. You know, this show started a DC universe that has kind of been unmatched anywhere else other than the comic books. I mean, technically, yeah, the movies, but they, like the way this show interconnects and everything, I don't know that we have gotten anything that is this close to the comic books as far as an interconnected comic book universe other than the MCU. The MCU and the Arrowverse are the two closest things I've ever seen to an actual incarnation of kind of what it's like to have the issues coming out of a comic book series. And in some ways, I think the Arrowverse is closer because you get all these individual stories and then they connect. Whereas every story in the MCU is kind of an event story in a way, you know. I mean, you do get some of the smaller stories, but a lot of them are the big event stories. And yeah, anyway, the legacy of the show, is what I'm saying, is very impressive and very awesome. And I love the show. I'm going to be bummed when I finish it because it's like, oh man, I spent so much time watching these characters. But on the other hand, it's been 8 years, and it spawned a universe. Its legacy will continue for a long time. Maybe it is time for this series to end. And I'm curious to see where Stephen Amell is going to go in the future, because I do enjoy him as an actor. He is coming out with a film here sometime this year, Code 8, which is a film he and his brother produced, at least, and they're starring in it as well. And that looks very cool. So look forward to that. That was kickstarted. Actually, it was Indiegogo started. So it was a crowd-funded movie. Looks very cool. My last bit of news is that it's Ash Wednesday. What? Okay. That means that it's the beginning of Lent, or Lent starts tomorrow, or something like that. I don't actually know a lot about Ash Wednesday, actually. So I thought I would start maybe a new little section here with some of these holiday episodes, where if I don't know a lot about the holiday, maybe I should learn a little bit more about the holiday along with you guys. So I don't know if this is going to turn out well. I don't know if this is going to turn out interesting or fun to listen to, but I'm going to look at Wikipedia, actually, and I'm going to figure out kind of a little bit more about what this holiday actually is. And if you don't know as much about it, maybe you'll discover it along with me, or maybe you know everything about it and you're like, dude, why didn't you just listen in history class or whatever? And I'll be like, yeah, I probably should have. But here we go. Okay, so Ash Wednesday, according to Wikipedia, this could technically be anything because people can write anything, but generally speaking, Wikipedia is pretty accurate. So, according to Wikipedia, Ash Wednesday is a Christian holy day of fasting, prayer, and repentance. It is preceded by Shrove Tuesday. Okay, Shrove Tuesday. Is that the day where everybody eats pancakes? I'll look at Shrove Tuesday in a bit here. Is preceded by Shrove Tuesday and falls on the first day of Lent. Okay, so it's the first day of Lent. Lent doesn't start tomorrow. It starts on Ash Wednesday. Okay. And I know Lent is like a time of fasting and prayer and all that. That one's, I know, is mostly, is definitely observed by Catholics, and I think certain other groups of Christians. Obviously, it's never been something I've really been involved in very much to much extent, you know, though I do know people that have. So Ash Wednesday is observed by many Christians, including, okay, Anglicans, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Old Catholics, Methodists, Nazarenes, Presbyterians, Roman Catholics, and some Baptists. So just a little bit of everything here. Okay, so this next section is about its name, Ash Wednesday, which I don't know, because it's like, okay, Ash, I see a picture here of a girl with ash on her head ashes on her head in the shape of a cross. So, okay, what exactly is that? Ash, I mean, I know, like, in the Bible, a lot of times they'll put ashes on their head when they're mourning. I don't know if this is, I don't exactly know what this represents. So, okay, Ash Wednesday derives its name from the placing of repentance ashes on the foreheads of participants to either the words repent and believe in the gospel or the dictum remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. The ashes may be prepared by burning palm leaves from the previous year's Palm Sunday celebrations. Okay, interesting. Because it is the first day of Lent, many Christians on Ash Wednesday often begin making a Lentian calendar, praying a Lentian daily devotional, and abstaining from a luxury that they will not partake in until Easter arrives. Okay, so basically this is the beginning of a fast up until Easter. As far as the ash goes, I still don't exactly get it, honestly. I mean, there's the symbol of, you know, you are dust, you were made from dust, and to dust you shall return, and all that. And, okay, repent and believe in the gospel is the other thing that they could say, which, okay. I guess I'm not entirely sure of why ashes, and why the ashes are the palm leaves from the last Palm Sunday. I don't like, okay, so they use those to worship God, you know, to worship Jesus as he came in on the donkey. So that's, I don't know. I might be missing something obvious here, but I'm not exactly sure how that connects. Okay, there's another section here on Wikipedia that's just titled Ashes. It says, ashes are ceremonially placed on the heads of Christians on Ash Wednesday, either by being sprinkled over their heads in English-speaking countries or more often being marked on their foreheads as a visible cross. The words based on Genesis 3:19 used traditionally to accompany this are... memento homo quiso povis est in parvum ratias, or here, why didn't it just say in English first, because I'm speaking English, all right, remember man that thou art dust and to dust thou shalt return, okay, what we said before. The custom is credited to Pope Gregory I, the Great, in 1969, the revision of the Roman Rite in alternate formula was introduced and given the place, repent and believe in the gospel, blah, 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 other stuff that we've already read. In addition, those who attend such Catholic services, whether in a church or elsewhere, traditionally take blessed ashes home with them to place on the heads of the members of the family, and it is recommended to have envelopes available to facilitate this practice. At home, the ashes are then placed with little to no ceremony. So this, I don't know, to me this sounds like they're maybe putting a little bit too much emphasis on the ashes as doing something. I don't know exactly. I don't entirely understand the significance here of the ashes. It just says over and over again that, like, you know, the Catholics do this, the you know, whoever does this, the Methodist does this. And it's like, it's mostly just putting the ashes on the head, you know, dumping the ashes on or putting it in the shape of a cross. This one random bishop guy here recommends it as a public profession of faith, so kind of like a baptism of sorts, I suppose, but just, you know, showing, okay, you know, I'm a Christian, here's the cross on my head, okay. And another Christian here that says to wear it on your forehead as an exercise of religious freedom, which, okay. All right, here we have a biblical significance of ashes category. And as I said, okay, here, ashes were used in ancient times to express grief, which I did mention that. When Tamar was raped by her half-brother, she sprinkled ashes on her head, tore her robe, and with her face buried in her hands, went away crying. 2 Samuel 13:19. The gesture was also used to express sorrow for sins and faults. In Job 42:3-6, Job says to God, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the air, but now mine eye shall see. No, my eye seest thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. The prophet Jeremiah calls for repentance by saying, O daughter of my people, grind on sackcloth, roll in ashes. Okay, so it's about the repentance of sins and the sorrow for your sins is what the ashes is about, it sounds like. Okay. And then it looks like it just goes on to say how, you know, some churches like it, some don't like it, some celebrate Ash Wednesday, some don't, and all this kind of stuff like this. And then it goes into Lent here. Ash Wednesday marks the start of a 40-day period, which is an allusion to the separation of Jesus in the desert to fast and pray, which I did know that's what Lent was about. So during this time, he was tempted, Matthew 4:1-11, Mark 1:12-13, and Luke 4:1-13. And it says it's also analogous to the 40-day period in which Moses repented and fasted in response to making the golden calf. I mean, there is something significant about the 40-day period and all that, but that's also something, I guess, that it connects to. It just very vaguely says something about that here. but yeah, okay. So basically, this marks the start of Lent, the period of fasting before Easter. And this is the day where you look at your sins and be mournful of them and repent from them and then move forward into fasting and prayer. That's what it looks like Ash Wednesday is all about. Now, at the beginning here, I talked about Shrove Tuesday. Let's go back to that and see what Shrove Tuesday is. So according to Wikipedia, Shrove Tuesday, also known in Commonwealth countries and Ireland as Pancake Tuesday or Pancake Day. Yes, okay. Is the day in February or March immediately preceding Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent, which is celebrated in some countries by consuming pancakes, and others, especially those where it is called Mardi Gras or some translation thereof. This is a carnival day and the last day of fat eating or gorging before the fasting period of Lent. So apparently Shrove Tuesday is all about is that, first off, you can eat a lot. You eat a lot more. You'll get a little bit more in before Lent starts, right? But then also, I guess pancakes uses up a lot of the different things that they kind of need to get rid of before this period of fasting, where they're not going to be using these for certain foods, and so they don't want these to go to waste. And so I guess pancakes covers a lot of that territory. So it's something along those lines. So there you go. I hope you learned something about Ash Wednesday and about Shrove Tuesday. I've learned a little bit here, and so, yeah, hopefully you have too. Did you enjoy this? Was this fun? I don't know. I don't know how this is going to turn out. Me kind of looking at Wikipedia, discovering some things, and just kind of being like, oh, okay, so this is what this is about. If this is cool, if this is fun, shoot me an email, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you guys about what you think about this. Is this cool? Is this fun? What do you think about Deadshot being recasted in Suicide Squad, and what do you think about Arrow ending? Let me know. HelixReviewsPodcast@gmail.com. This started out as a news segment episode and kind of just turned into a regular episode here. So, this is David Arrington of Double Helix News signing out. Bye bye, guys.